Have you seen the footage from downtown London, England, of five military horses running riderless through the street? There are few things, I don't know if creepy necessarily describes it. I always remember it was a scene from the movie Missing, a Jack Lemmon movie about Chile. And in one scene, an abandoned street by night, a horse gallops riderless down the street. And it's just sort of an indication of chaos. Anyway, it's apropos of almost nothing, but there were five military horses who were being ridden outside of Buckingham Palace, and there was some construction debris that fell to the ground, and the horses got spooked, and so they threw their soldier riders, and then they ran through the streets until they could be corralled again. And having been thrown from my share of horses, I can tell you, they're easily spooked. I mean, for the love of Pete, the second time I got thrown off a horse, it was because there was a plastic bag in the air. With all due respect to those people who love and adore horses, they're not the cleverest of creatures. All right, so let's talk science. And it is a Test Tube Thursday. Dan Riskin is here. Good morning, sir.
Good morning. I can't help but think that if it's because we're riding prey animals, maybe if we rode predators like He-Man riding a tiger, I think we could solve the problem.
Okay, I'll have to give that a try. I mean, I've learned so much about horses, and one of them being never get between a horse and the wall, because you can get into some pretty serious trouble.
Yeah, right. Yeah, they scare me. My daughter does horse riding lessons, and she's quite comfortable moving around them. But to me, if I'm going to be close to an animal, I like it to be a bat. I like it to be very small. I like to be able to handle it. And horses are just too big for me. They freak me right out.
Well, and without going too much down the rabbit hole, I've got a list in front of me, because we're talking about dangerous dogs in Toronto today, of prohibited animals in Toronto, and bats are on the list, and I thought of you.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
So that's probably good. I mean, most people wouldn't take good care of them. I would feel bad for the bat in that situation. And they're nocturnal. They don't make great pets, because they only want to be active when people are sleeping. They don't make great pets. They're beautiful wild animals, but I've taken care of Canadian bats when they've been in rehab or whatever. And they're, you know, you feed them mealworms and they kind of look at you, but they don't want to be there any more than anybody else. And then, you know, when you've got these big fruit bats that live in places like Australia, they can, you know, form bonds with people and stuff, but it's not great. You'll do much better with something else, like a dog, which we've bred for that. So get a dog, and not a mean dog, a nice dog.
Okay. Voyager 1 now sending data back to Earth for the first time in 5 months. Where was it?
So it's been on track. So this thing, it launched September 1977, and has been going away from the Earth ever since. So this is the farthest spacecraft, farthest anything ever built by humans away from the Earth. It is 24 billion kilometers away. That means that at the speed of light, when it sends a message back to Earth, it takes almost a whole day for it to get to us, 22.5 light hours away. So this thing has been sending data back with 1970s technology, and it's the kinds of data it sends are, here's how my systems are working, and here's the science that I'm seeing around me, and it's taking measurements of what it's experiencing outside our solar system now. But it started sending gobbledygook back in November, and I was talking on the radio about how it was basically done. It was just sending back garbage, and nobody could sort of decipher what the messages meant. And it was sort of the end of this mission, which was supposed to be 5 years. So it was already very impressive. But nonetheless, engineers have figured out how to fix it. So they realized that the gobbledygook was a result of a couple of bad cells on a chip. And they've rewritten I don't know how they figured out where on the chip the problem was, but they did. And then they rewrote the code so that it doesn't use those parts of the chip. And now they've got it working again. And all of this is despite the fact that, I mean, if you're working on a computer and you make a change, you just upload it and then you test it. With this, it takes a whole day for you to upload something, and it takes a whole day for it to send back whatever message it responds with. So really slow and difficult to do, and a very hard task, but the engineers have pulled it off. It is now speaking normal again. Yeah. It is sending back status updates about its own health, and soon we'll be sending back science data again. So engineers saved the day. Amazing.
See, I'm fascinated by tech and how it ages, because most of us wouldn't have a refrigerator in our house from 1977, and here's something in outer space that is still doing its work.
Right, exactly. It is amazing, and that's part of the legacy of these NASA engineers, because they put this thing up in space, and then you have these experts that know exactly how every part of it, every line of code, and if something goes wrong, they can find ways to use one piece of machinery to do a different job or whatever it is. And this is just another example of NASA's very smart people doing a great job.
So it would seem new research suggests that the whole impression we have of the lazy stoner, the Matthew McConaughey type, is actually a stereotype, and it's not true.
All right. Yeah, this is a fun one. It's UT Scarborough research that's getting international attention. And what they did is they used Reddit to find people who smoke a lot of weed, which turned out to work really well. They got 260 people for this study, and these are people that smoke or use marijuana. They don't all smoke. Some of them vape, some of them smoke, some of them take it other ways, but they get high three or more times a week. So they're habitual users. And there are some pretty high estimates of how many people fit into that category. Some people think it's about 7% of Canadians that use marijuana at least that much. So are they unmotivated when they're stoned? So basically they had an app that would ping them every once in a while and ask them if they wanted to do one of two tasks. And one task was kind of difficult, but it would get you 200 lottery tickets towards winning an iPad. And one of them was a really easy task, but it would get you fewer lottery tickets. So it was 100 versus 200. And the question was, when people are stoned versus when they're not stoned, is there a difference in how motivated they are to do the harder one to try to get more lottery tickets to try to win the iPad? And what they found in the study is that there's really no difference in people between in their motivation levels when they're stoned or not stoned in terms of how willing they are to do the harder job to get more lottery tickets, which is really a counterintuitive result.
I always hate stories that fit into the category of here's how everything could all get worse. But bird flu, a growing concern?
So H5N1 is a strain of flu it's a bird flu. And around 2020, there's an outbreak that started. It showed up in birds. It showed up in wild mammals. And more recently, it spread to cattle on dairy farms in the States. And people are worried about it getting to humans. And there's one case of a human who... It's unclear whether they did get it from a cow. They worked on the dairy farm where there was an outbreak. But if you look at the genetic sequence this guy has, it's a little bit different from the cow sequence. So that's not quite worked out. But the fact that it got to a person once has everybody quite worried that this could spread. The H5N1 tends to have a much higher mortality rate than things like COVID or other flu strains. And so it can be pretty scary if it jumps to humans. It hasn't yet. There are those who say if it was going to jump, it would have jumped already. And there are other people who say, have we learned nothing? People are talking already about vaccines and how they're available. And it's tough. I roll my eyes because you see quotes where people say things like, listen, if it does start spreading to humans, the world's going to be able to respond because we have access to vaccines and we know how to do this. And it's like, I think we just all went through an experience where we saw that a lot of people don't want vaccines, even if they work, and that can create some headaches. And we haven't really figured out the societal problems to deal with the next pandemic. So I hope we move forward on this conversation about what went wrong during COVID and what we can do next time to try to get people on board with the scientists if they're telling us to take something. But for now, it's not a concern yet, and it's yet to be determined whether this is going to flare up or if it's going to go away.
And one of your headlines this morning says, experiment prepares to test a possible second purpose for Stonehenge. I didn't know what the first purpose was.
Well, Stonehenge is this giant thing that lines up with the sun. And so for the solstice and these other events, the sun lines up with like holes in the rock. And if you're standing in the right place, it lines up perfectly. And it's very clear that this thing was built as a giant thing that paid attention to the movement of the sun. And that's very exciting. And so people love going out for those celebrations. But there's the possibility that it also has aspects that are built for the motions of the moon. And the moon is not as impressive in the sky as the sun is, but it is pretty cool. And there's this really nice archaeological site in the U.S. in Colorado that it's called the Great House of Chimney Rock. And it very clearly is lined up to pay attention to the wobble of the moon as it makes its orbit. And there are these things called major lunar standstills and minor lunar standstills where the moon just wobbles a little bit off of its axis. And you can see where it hits the horizon lines up with this place in the States. People are checking to see if Stonehenge might have that aspect as well. They've picked a couple of rocks that they think line up with where the moon should go. So they're going to watch to see how it lines up in the coming years. But there's a possibility that this thing not only tracked the sun, but also tracked the moon. And this would be the experiment that figures that out.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
That's Dan Riskin, our science guy.
In ancient times, hundreds of years before the dawn of history, lived an ancient race of people.